Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. You're cutting into my time. All righty. I now have 25 minutes, so thank you. I know if Joe Biden walked up here, you'd be doing exactly the same thing, so I'm not. I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyway, I looked out and I noticed that there is a great gulf fixed between all the young men that sit back here and all the young ladies that are sitting over here. I don't know if it's COVID or BO. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But fellas, you know, you're young. You got these pretty little girls over here. Don't sit alone in chapel. You ought to get this figured out. Come on, guys. Man, you know, if I got to go back and do it all over again, I'd probably have a different gal with me every day in chapel, so my wife would have got jealous a lot sooner. We could have solved that long, drawn-out affair of waiting. So, It's exciting for me to have my wife here today, and she was not well. Oh, yeah. She was not well. She's here today. I'm glad she got to be here. And, of course, Brother Tim, our assistant, he's half my age. It's a good thing I'm not a lot younger. We'd get in a lot of trouble. But I appreciate him very much, doing a great job for Lakeview Baptist Church with our young people. And, of course, the Benson family here today, and they run our junior church. And great people, thank you. And the rest of you are a captive audience. All right, 2 Kings chapter 10. And interesting, I prayed. You know, I've been preaching for around 40 years, and I've got briefcases full of sermons. I don't have a filing cabinet. I have suitcases full or briefcases full of these sermons, and so I go through them. And I tried and I couldn't. God gave me this message, and I appreciate God being so kind to me to give me the message I think that was needed for today. You know, we're taking the long walk up here, and down the hall, my wife was with me, and Brother Tim was with me, my assistant, and they were leading us down, and then my wife peeled off with into the auditorium, and then a few minutes later, Brother Tim peeled off. It was just me and Brother Wilkerson. Felt like I was going to my execution. I really wasn't sure. It's all us now. Anyway, so I'm a little timid here. I've preached here before. This isn't my first time. And it took them about 10 years to forget about me. And that was important. That way it could bring me back. They forgot the mess I made last time. So, but we're in 2 Kings chapter 10. And by the way, don't worry about me. I've already had the COVID. Had it 4 months ago. And so, already had it, can't get it, can't give it. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that right on the front. Leave me alone, I've already had it. Could you pull your mask up? No, I don't want to. Pull it down and say, pardon me. I'm going to do it one of these days. I am going to do it. You don't need any ideas, do you? All right. 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? And very important passage talking about Jehu. And he was yielded to God at his beginning. God anointed him. He was anointed by a preacher boy to be the next ruler of of Israel, and he, or Judah, excuse me, and he made an amazing feat as he slew two kings without an army. You know, the Assyrians were always trying to get to the kings of Israel and Judah. Jehu slew two kings without any army. He's an amazing man, fulfilling God's judgment. And then we come and we read about the amazing feat that Jehu had performed, his courage and his zeal. It says, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. And then verse 31, it says, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. And I want to talk to you this morning on Jehu's folly. And my hope is that you will not repeat it. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you and I ask your help. And we love young people. We work hard. We invest a lot of our lives. These folks behind me and some in front of me have invested their whole life in young people, because we believe what you can do with young people. And God, I pray that today you would do a special work in the hearts of these young people. I pray Jesus would be magnified. I pray they would not forget this message, not for my sake, but for their sake. And they would seek you with a whole heart for a whole lifetime. I pray you'd bless and I pray you'd use me, and I'll give you every bit of the credit for anything and all that's accomplished this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jehu was not somebody you wanted to mess with. He took his responsibility very serious. You heard the message that Brother Wilkerson gave you this morning. Pastor Wilkerson told you this morning three important words. I hope you don't forget about those. And don't be upset with rules. I could preach a whole sermon on that. I won't touch that this morning. But relationships, how important is that? You know, Jehu accepted his responsibility. He did great on that. And he didn't do bad beginning with the rules. He followed God's rules. But he had no relationship. And this really is my message this morning. Jehu accomplished great things, but he made one major mistake. He had one major flaw, and that was he did not continue to maintain a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, God's work is always exciting when you know it's God doing it. It's always exciting. It's always exciting to win a soul to Christ. It's always exciting to see people saved. It's fabulous to see churches grow. Everybody wants to be a part of that. But Jehu failed to maintain a relationship with Christ, I'm not trying to find major fault with him, except to say he missed the best part. He missed the major thing. And young people, if you don't get anything else this morning, I hope you'll take this and keep this with you for the rest of your life. If you don't enjoy your relationship with Jesus Christ and enjoy him on a daily basis, you're missing the greatest part of the Christian life. That is your first purpose, to enjoy your Lord. Delight thyself also what? It didn't say his work. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to end up delighting yourself in his work. There won't be any problem with that. And Jehu made this great mistake. One of my goals, and it started when I was a teenager, I heard an older senior preach. He had to be well into his 80s. And I heard him preach, and he said, I want to serve God with everything I have. And as a 17-year-old kid, I wept. I said, God, how I want to serve you for a lifetime. How am I going to be able to do that? Serve you for a lifetime. I was so humbled to watch that man up there who'd served God for a lifetime. And that's been my goal. A whole heart. For a wholehearted God, for a whole lifetime. What did Jehu, where did he fail? He failed to take heed to walk in the law of the Lord with all his heart. He had a semblance of spirituality, But it didn't get all the way down into the heart. It didn't control his heart. I was thinking about our Lord this morning. Jesus gave his all for us. The Bible says, a body thou hast prepared for me. And Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He gave his body. He gave his back to the smiters and his face to the smiters. And they ripped him apart, literally ripped him apart. He gave his body. He gave his all. He gave his soul. The Bible says he hath poured out his soul unto death. It continued from his body into his soul, even into his spirit. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. He gave his all for you and I. He held back nothing for you and I. And that same Savior became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which was much more than a normal death, because he became sin for us who knew no sin. We don't understand the shame that Christ felt when he became the thing he hated most. We'll never comprehend that. But he still paid it. He held back nothing for you. And he asked, and he actually commands us to be wholehearted Christians. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God doesn't want a portion. He wants the whole thing. Now I'm going to say this, young people. I've been serving God for a long time. Been saved for 46 years. Been serving God for a long time. You can trust him with your life. The whole thing. I'm afraid that, I'm going to be single forever. you won't be. Most of you will get married, and you'll have children, and life will go on. Our teenagers were talking the other day, and I asked the seniors in my senior seminar class, I said, tell me what your goals are. And one of the boys said, I hope that when I'm old like Brother Tim, I'll have a family. And I just burst out. I couldn't help it. You don't want to embarrass them, but I'm an old man. I had to laugh. It was just it's like when I heard the young people stand up. We had the Howells Anderson tour group not long ago, and they got up and sang, "It's Been a Long Journey." Brother Eddie was there. I looked over Brother Eddie. I said, "They don't know what a long journey is, brother." I said, "They haven't even started yet." And he just put his head back and laughed. He says, "No, they don't." And I'm not criticizing you. But if you're going to serve God for a lifetime, it's going to be a long journey. You're not going to make it on zeal. You're going to make it on love. Because you develop a personal relationship with Christ. That's so important. I have a question for you this morning, and that is this. Does Jesus have all of your heart? Does Jesus have all of your heart? The Bible says that the way this is proven in John 14, verse 23, is you keep his commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. He will obey my words. He will follow my commands, Jesus said. And we will manifest ourselves to him. If you love the Lord, then you're going to prove it by keeping his commands. If you don't like rules, probably Christianity is not what you're going to love. But the rules are designed to help us love people. Do you understand that this morning? Why are all these rules? Oh man, Howells Anderson has all these rules. I want to go somewhere there's no rules. You going to take your Bible with you? The modern philosophy is, well, the Old Testament's a thing of the past, and I'm not under law. I don't mean this wrong. The law is not your enemy. It never has been. It isn't the law that condemned you as much as it was our sin. The problem was not with the law. It was holy, just, and perfect. The problem is we're sinners. Our sin condemned us. The law identified us. Don't hate following God's commands. Don't despise them. It's a proof. By the way, it's a proof of your salvation. Because all of God's commands are ways to love people. And if you have a problem with loving people, you're going to have trouble with him. Because that's what he's all about. Now, we live in a day of great distractions. And so, does Jesus have all of your heart? Very important question. Does Jesus have all of your heart? The cell phone is absolutely destroying us as Christians. Pastors, everybody. Teenagers love YouTube. You know what the kids are looking at on YouTube? Most of it, you don't think they should be looking at it. The music is not something they should be listening to. The philosophies are not something we believe in. And we're filled with it. You know, you want a little humor, there's got to be a better place to look. Just watch your roommate. There's got to be somewhere to find some humor. More I could say about that, because I've got a lot of stories on roommates. And so does Brother, Stubblefield. Oh, yeah. Right, Brother Stubblefield? We've got some great ones. Wake up, Bert Rexon. All right, we won't go there this morning. Couple thoughts I have this morning. The introduction's long, the sermon's short. How do you serve God? That was the most sincere amen I've gotten in a long, long time. Number one, never get over the greatness of our God. Yes. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. What a God we have this morning. The God of the universe would think upon us and look upon us. We're but dust. We're sometimes not at the top of the food chain. I mean, God loves us in spite of everything that we are and in spite of everything that we are not. He created us. He's a faithful God. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is an amazing Savior. He's a wise Father. He's a compassionate friend. He's everything you need. He's all you were ever meant to love. He's everything that we're going to appreciate in glory. Never get over the fact that Jesus loves you. The motivating factor in my life for these 46 years has been one thought, and that is Jesus loves me. Now, I will say this. There are times when I don't believe that, and you don't either, because you think that He hates you, or He's mad at you, or He's being unkind to you. And if somebody says, "Does Jesus love you?" you go, "I don't know." That's what the devil wants to separate us from. The fact, because we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. He proved it on Calvary. I tell people, Calvary is not an exception to God's love. It is an expression of God's love. It's continuous. God loves you with Calvary's love every day that you live and breathe. He loves you that much. He cares for you. Far beyond what you can comprehend. The Bible says if we tried to comprehend it in Ephesians 3, we can't do it. It's beyond our comprehension. That's how much He loves you. Every day He loves you that much. Never get over the fact that Jesus Christ loves you. And I'll tell you, you've got to stay with it. You've got to stay with it. Why? Because the older you get, the easier it is to doubt that. Because you see so much evil in this world. Well, man's the author of evil. God is love. Don't ever get the two mixed up. Don't ever get the two mixed up. So number one, never lose that vision, that focus of the greatness of God, because He is. Thank Him daily. Praise Him daily. It doesn't take me long to become unthankful and just get busy and take things for granted. Thank Him daily. Have a time where you get alone and thank Him. Brother Hiles gave me something. He gave us all something, but I took it personal. He talked about his worship time. That one thing, Brother Ray, changed my life. Because I get alone with God, and I start thinking about God, and I start thanking Him what He's done in my life, and in about 2 or 3 minutes, I'm in a whole different place. No matter what's going on around me, no matter what my heartache, if I can focus long enough on Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, I have to praise Him. I have to love Him. He's that wonderful. Number two, Bible and prayer. Bible and prayer. You hear that all the time, Bible and prayer. But He speaks to us through the Bible. That's how God talks to you. I got a word of knowledge. No, you don't. You know, you got that sub with everything. You know, you've got indigestion. God speaks to you through the Word of God. He speaks to you through the Bible. That's how He communicates to you all of His character, all of His desires, and His Spirit tells us His heart through the words of the Word of God. And that's how he speaks to us. We speak to him through prayer. And we tell our new converts that, but we fail sometimes to really comprehend the importance of it. Prayer, you could spend the rest of the chapel services all year just on prayer. It'd be worth it. Prayer is the key. Know your Bible, memorize it, and then know the Psalms. They're all prayers. You know what's going to come out of you when you're in distress? Those prayers. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my voice. He heard the voice of my supplication. And you're going to pray those prayers, and it's going to flow out of you. Know the Word of God, and then pray. By the word of thy mouth, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. You know, you've got to spend time with God daily. Don't get too busy to spend time with God every single day. Make a promise to God and to yourself. You're not going to let a day go by. It is priority number one. Spend time with God and the Word of God. Number three, make His purposes your priority. Make His purposes your priorities. You know what's sad? All of these young people protesting, a lot of them are young. They're 20 years old. Beating up people, shooting them. Many of them white. Don't blame black folks for that, because that isn't right. I tell you something this morning. We have a problem, and the problem is our young people have lost their purpose. They've lost their purpose. And that's why they're going through all this. They think they're doing something to help the black people. I was a missionary in Aruba to black people. I loved them as much as I love my own soul. My grandchildren are children of color. I don't think color ought to have anything to do with any. I mean, God loves every one of us. It's the whole story of the Bible. The Ethiopian eunuch was not from England. But they don't know how to help each other. They need the love of Christ. We don't need revolution as much as we need revival. And that's what we need in America. We need to get back to the place where we care about souls. Where God's priorities become our priorities. And because when you leave this world, you're taking nothing with you. I started out in the ministry, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. I just got done building our second home. I will not build another one. That was more than what I bargained for. Some place in the country, the house would be worth $1 million. Where we are, it's a little over $200,000. And I built it with my two grubby little hands. And I thought the other day, when I pass, my wife and I are gone. I hope she goes when I do. No, I'm kidding. We're going to do everything together. I'm just teasing, sweetie. She was told in 2 weeks she'd forget about me anyway, so it doesn't matter. But my home doesn't matter. My kids will sell it and split the money. There isn't anything I have in that house. We started out, man, our couch, we got it off the curb somewhere. We didn't ask who was sleeping on it. We've got new furniture. Young people, there's a lot of things that young people are giving their lives to live for, to make money, to do this, to do that, and they're wasting their life. God knows you have need of all these things, and those things are going to come to you. The things that you really need are going to come to you, and you'll have nicer stuff when the kids grow up and quit drinking all the money and the food. And anyway, you'll do fine. But I'm going to tell you something. Keep God's purposes your priorities. Love people. I'm a competitor, all right? I love sports. My grandchildren are competitors. We played football in college, not kickball. But anyway. I'm just kidding. You can still run into people out in the soccer field. It's called a slide tackle. Anyway. But make Jesus' purposes your priorities. Love people. love people. If you can't get along with your roommate, don't get married. It's going to be a lot easier getting along with your roommate than it is being married. You say, "Preacher, that sounds horrible." You'll learn. Men and women are different. I know it. No, they're different. And you have to learn to love, you know. They asked me to speak at the conference on dealing with difficult people. I said, they should be having my wife speak on this. I'm probably the most difficult person she has to deal with. Learn to love. Learn to love people. Life's too short. Don't hold grudges. Don't live in anger. Love people. Treat people properly. It's not going to hurt you. It doesn't take away from your manhood, fellas. Learn to love people. Number four, include Jesus in every endeavor. Everything you do, include Him. Every relationship, every heartache, every decision, everything. Why exclude Him from anything? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. I love the song. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And number five, finish strong. Finish strong. Stay the course. You've probably heard the illustration many times because it happened not too terribly far from here. But Edward Spencer was a Garrett Bible Institute student in Chicago just before the turn of the century. And he was walking along the shore and a ship or a ferry had collided with a logging ship and had sunk. And there were people out in the water. You could hear them, their cries from shore. He looked out and he saw a woman struggling, been hanging onto these boards for hours. And the waves were high. And if you've tried to break through waves to get out there, it takes a little bit of skill and you've got to be in great shape to be able to do that. As a swimmer, he swam out and he rescued her. He got back in and fought to get out the second time, but made it and brought in the second one. And he fought to go out the third time, broke through those waves, and finally got to where the water was smooth enough he could swim and brought in a third, and then a fourth, then a fifth. He got to 10, was very weary. Got to 12, extremely weary. Got to 14, he was could barely drop the people off for others to pick them up, and he swam out. They said, "Stop going out. You can't do anymore." He said, "Fellows, have I done my best? Have I done my best?" He kept saying that over and over, "Have I done my best?" He rescued number 16. He went out 17th time, couldn't bring anybody back. When he got back to shore, he crawled up and he collapsed on the shore. He was a partial invalid for the rest of his life, had taken every bit of strength out of him. A man named Ensign Young heard the story. He drove out west. He found out where Edward Spencer was, and he went out west and met the man. He said, "I've heard your story. I've met some people that you saved, and I want to hear it from you." And he told the story, and Edward Spencer said, "But I don't know if it made a difference." He said, I wonder if I did my best." And that inspired Ensign Young to write the song, "I Wonder Have I Done My Best for Jesus." Can I ask you a question? Are you going to serve God for a lifetime? If you already are struggling by being distracted by pornography or the wrong kind of music just got you captivated, you're not going to last real long. And you will become a tremendous disappointment to people who love you the most. Can I challenge you this morning? Can I challenge you to give Jesus all your heart? Do it on a daily basis. And never get over Jesus. never get over Jesus. Know he loves you this morning.